Good morning. Welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. We are blessed that you are here to worship Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, with us here this morning. As we open up this time of praise and worship, if you would, please bow your heads and your hearts, and let's open up with a word of prayer today. Oh, gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the precious opportunity that you have given to us to gather together, to sing praises unto you, to draw near unto you as your word calls us to do. We thank you for the promise that says that you would draw near unto us when we draw near to you. And so, Heavenly Father, as we draw near to you, we just will rest assured that you will draw near to us. And we bless you for that. We praise you for that. We commit this service into your care. We pray that you would find everything to be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. May your Holy Spirit quicken our minds and impact our hearts and just change us from the inside out. We bless you and we thank you. We praise you and honor you. And we bless you in the holy name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen.
So good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. As we stand and get ready to praise our Lord, let's turn to our neighbor and say, you're new in Christ.
You're new in Christ.
You're new in Christ. As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for rolling those burns away, for renewing us, allowing us to have your wonderful blessing, because you are a wonderful, wonderful blessing to all of us, Lord. Father, allow us not to carry anything with us, but instead have us turn our eyes upon you. Let us focus on you, because there is no past. There's only a bright future with you. In all things, we give you praise, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So long, you weary and troubled. No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior. Look full in his wonderful face.
bow our heads. Heavenly Father, allow us to listen to those words, Lord. As we come before you, let us accept those words into our heart. Because we do turn our eyes upon Jesus and look full into your wonderful grace. Because the things of earth, they will grow strangely dim in the light of your glory and your grace. Allow us to accept that grace. Allow us to understand there's no past, there's only a future. Allow us to be a blessing unto others as we renew our minds and focus in on you. Lord, we thank you for everything you're doing and everything you will do in this church. We ask a special blessing over this church and all the members and those that are not here. Allow them to come back. In all things, we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Before we continue this time of praise and worship here this morning, I just want to highlight a couple brief announcements. If you'll notice with me on the back of your bulletin. First, we want to just say a big thank you to everyone who came out last Monday and helped with the cleaning of the kitchen. That truly was a blessing for me to hear from Anita how many of you came out and truly took part in that. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Anita is serving in the nursery this morning, and so she is unable to thank you herself. And so on behalf of Anita, I say thank you, because that is a job well done. Also, you will see that the food pantry, there's a list of things that are being needed in the community food pantry here in town. And if you feel led as God leads and quickens your heart to, you know, purchase some of those items and bring them into the church in the bins in the fellowship hall, and then Tina Shields will get those to them. And we are now collecting school supplies as well for those in the community that are in need. And so you can do the same thing with those items as well and put those items in the bin in the fellowship hall. Lastly, Sunday, August the 7th, which it's hard to believe, but that is next week. There will be a potluck immediately following the worship service. The meat and a drink will be provided, and we just ask that everyone bring a dish that can be shared and just, you know, plan to stay after the worship service, and have a great time of fellowship. At this time, junior worship is now dismissed for those in kindergarten through fifth grade. We have a special ministry especially planned and prepared for you this morning. This morning's scripture reading is found in the book of Colossians. We will be reading out of the third chapter of Colossians. If you're utilizing your pew Bible, you'll find that on page 1834. I will be reading out of the New King James Version, which will be a little bit different than the pew Bible. But follow along as we listen to a reading from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, the first 10 verses. Since then, you were raised with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members, which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. May God bless the reading of his word. As we continue this time of worship with the giving of our tithes and offerings, if the ushers would please come, may we give back a portion of what God has blessed us with.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
On your altar this morning. morning, our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, asking your blessing upon them. Bless them and multiply them into your service. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. This morning we are continuing our series about our purpose here. And the last several weeks we discussed that God wants us to be part of his family. This morning the title of the message is that God wants me to be a model of his character. You know, friends, in our society, that we can tell a lot about people by the way that they dress. From baseball players to bus drivers, from postal carriers to policemen, people wear the uniform of their profession. Who we are determines what we wear, and failing to dress the part can sometimes have embarrassing consequences. A few years ago, a wealthy man in Southern California town, he was found wandering around the local country club wearing shabby clothes. He was promptly seized by security guards and charged with vagrancy, even though he was the owner of the country club. Friends, he failed to dress his part of who he was. You know, when I was serving in baseball chapel, I was okay when I would go in the clubhouse and all the ball players were in street clothes because I could tell who they were, you know, by the distinctive nature of how they dressed. But heaven forbid that I went in there on game day, which was just about every day, and then they had their uniform on, and then it was like, oh, whoa, what do we do here? Everybody looked the same. And in fact, we look at the externals more than we look at the internals, so much that I conducted a funeral not too long ago. And there was an individual that was there, and he was part of the family, and he had tattoos all over, and I kind of looked at him. And then the day of the funeral, he shows up, and he's got a police uniform on. And I'm here to tell you that my perception of that man was drastically different. And I'm sad to say that we all do it. We all look at the externals, and that is what the Apostle Paul is saying to all of us in the book of Colossians chapter 3. He wants us to know that, you know, you are to be a model of God's character. It doesn't matter. I never thought in my wildest dreams that I would be standing before a congregation in jeans and a golf shirt preaching. You see, I didn't grow up that way. I grew up with the church where they wore robes at you know, the early years of my life. And they were that formal. And then I went to a church where they had at least suits and ties on. And so for me, it was a big adjustment, a big jump to begin to wear jeans, because it's almost like we look at the externals so much that we miss what God is doing inside on the heart of that individual. And friends, God wants you and me to be a model of his character. We read the first 10 verses of the third chapter of the book of Colossians earlier, and I want to do something this morning. I want to talk about the what, and then I want to talk about the why, and then I want to give us the how. How are we supposed to do that? And this is the what. The what is that God wants me to be a model of his character. And we can look at this in the first couple of verses. We're going to work backwards on this passage. And God wants us to be a model of his character so much that he commands us to put on them as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, and patience, forbearing one another. And if as a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Now, in passages like this, our temptation is to go right to the lists, is it not? And most of the time in the scriptures, you have two lists. You have a list of the old nature, and then you have a list like this list, and we didn't read far enough to get here. We have a list that says this is what you should be like. And our temptation is to go right to the list, and then we self-analyze ourselves, and we say, yikes, I am not living this up. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing this. I'm falling short because I am not compassionate. I'm not kind. And who in here struggles with patience? I think all of us do. We live in a society where we want it right now. And so my challenge to all of us this morning is don't go to the list. Because when we go to the list, we miss the what, and we miss the why, and then most importantly, we miss the how. God wants you to know how He wants you to be a model of his character. And we're going to get to that here in a little bit. The lists are the evidence. They are not the end all. The lists are the evidence. The evidence of God working in your heart, in your mind, in your soul. A little while ago, I went to the doctor, and I was struggling with an asthma flare-up, and I went to the doctor, and this nurse practitioner, it was not my fiance, but this nurse practitioner, she began to just treat the symptoms, not the cause. And I began to tell her, having lived with asthma for 45 years of my life, I began to tell her what I needed. And thankfully, she listened to me, because then she treated the cause. And friends, that is exactly what God wants to do. He wants to get to the cause of why we act a certain way, why we do certain things, and why we have the struggles that we do. You see, if we focus on the externals, like wearing clothes or wearing uniforms, then we just miss the internal aspect of it. If we go to the doctor and the doctor only treats the symptoms, we never get to the root cause of what's going on. And that's our temptation every single day of our life. The old cliche, don't judge a book by its cover. And the old cliche could be stated this way, don't judge a Christian by what you see. Because what God is doing deep in his heart, in that person's soul, in her mind, may be radically different. Now, I am not saying that we give people a blind pass to act in any certain sort of way. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that we are not God, and God sees the heart. We don't see the heart. We have been bent, and we have been bent towards seeing the externals. And this is our bent. And there are times in the Christian community and congregations that people will say, well, you know what, he wasn't very compassionate. That individual wasn't very kind. I really would have hoped better that they would have been more teachable and they would have had a little more patience with me. But friends, we're looking at the externals. And the what is that God wants you and me to be a model of his character. God, in fact, desires for us to live a life that reflects who he is to others. And I want you to hear that. You see, we are walking billboards. The Apostle Paul says that we are walking letters that are being read. You know, when you drive down the highway, and I've been putting in a couple highway miles over the last several weeks, and I've been noticing different types of billboards. And when you drive down the highway, you read these billboards, and many times you'll see one, two, three, four right in a row of the same thing. The reason is that they want you to get it. You, my friends, me, we are walking letters. We are walking billboards for the whole watching world to read. And God wants you and I to reflect his character. You see, these attributes here that we need to do. They are not a part of a checklist that we can say, okay, I was compassionate today. I was kind today. I was meek today. I was patient today. I was forbearing with one another. And you know what? I put on love. No, it's not that at all. It's about reflecting the characteristics of God. Hear that. We are the reflection of a living Lord, the risen Christ, to a watching world. And the Apostle Paul says, you are walking letters, you are walking billboards, and all those who are outside of Jesus and outside of a relationship with him, you are what they are reading. They are watching your actions. They're watching what you do. They're watching what you say. They're watching how you conduct your business. Before we go too far and we put ourselves on a guilt trip, C.S. Lewis puts it this way. C.S. Lewis says, surely what a person does when they are taken off their guard is the best evidence for what sort of person they are. He continues on. He says, if there are rats in a cellar, you are most likely to see them if you go in very suddenly. But the suddenness does not create the rats. It only prevents them from hiding. In the same way, the suddenness of the provocation of an event in life does not make a person ill-tempered. It only shows what type of ill-tempered a person is. You see, life will bump us. And if we never get to the how, and I've talked with a lot of Christians that they get so hung up on these lists, and we read the whole negative list, that they never get to the how. And that's what I really want to illustrate for us here this morning. Because God wants you and me to be a model for His character, a model of His character to a watching world. My cousin came to Christ, and he was, you know, doing things in his life, and he would pass every time he would go, and he would close down a bar every night on Saturday night. He'd pass a group of Christians when he was in the service, and they'd be happy and joyful. And he stopped them one morning, one Sunday morning. He says, "I don't know what you all have, but I want some of that. Tell me how I can get some of that." They said not one word to him. They didn't, you know, engage him in evangelism or anything like that. They simply were reflecting the character of God, the joy, the love, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the compassion, the meekness, the tenderheartedness. And friends, when we get caught up on this list, we put ourselves on such a bent that we think that we will never measure up. And quite frankly, friends, we never will, because that's why we need Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And that's why He came to do what we couldn't do. And when we think that we can do this, we are stifling what God wants to do through us. The second thing is that God wants you and me to experience His blessings. And this is why He wants us to be a model of His character. If we could go on here. The scriptures tell us that for you have died and your life is hid with Christ. And then later on He says, put off the old nature with its practices and have put on the new nature, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. This terminology, put off and put on, it's really like getting dressed. That's the terminology that is speaking here. Now, put off the old nature. I want us to remember that when Jesus resurrected Lazarus, he calls Lazarus and he's all bound up in the grave clothes, right? And he comes out of the tomb and Jesus commands them, loose him. Basically, take the grave clothes off of him. And then even when Jesus was resurrected, what was left in the tomb? Grave clothes. Jesus was resurrected. Many times when we don't get to the how, we as Christians, we run around in our life in grave clothes. Let that sink in. We run around as if we were living a life that God hasn't called us to live. And He said, put off the old nature. Some of us, we need to get dressed and we need to say, hey, no, I died to that. Our life is hid in Christ. And when you are united with Christ, which you are, you have died to the old way. And you are no longer held in bondage with it and by it and for it, because Jesus has liberated you from it. And it's about high time that we say, Jesus, I'm going to apply what you did in my life, and I'm going to accept what you have done. And you have changed my internal nature from a nature of sinfulness to a nature of godliness, from a nature of wrath to a nature of holiness. And that's what God has done for you and for me. And we need to get out of the grave clothes, and we need to put on the resurrected clothes of Christ. And we need to put on that new nature. And I'm going to tell you, friends, where it starts. Doesn't start in what you do or don't do. That may be a shock to many of you. It's not about what you do. It's about who you are. It's not about what you don't do. It's about who you are, because God wants you and me to be a model of His character, and He wants you and me to receive His blessings. And if I'm running around in grave clothes, I can't receive the true blessings of God. And God's blessings for you and for me are a life hid with Christ in God. You might say, well, what's that matter to me? A life hid with Christ in God. It gives you all access. Every access that Jesus has with God the Father, you have this day. A life hid with Christ in God. It gives you the access of a holy God, a heavenly Father, a loving Savior, that you can run to Him every single time you stub your toe or you make a mistake. It gives you all access, because, friends, your life is hid with Christ in God. It's not only just a temporary life, it's a life which is eternal. It's a life that starts here and now, and it goes on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. You might say, well, how does that impact me now? If you are living as if you are a sojourner, a pilgrim, an alien, a resident alien of this world, your mind is going to be different. How you think of things is going to be radically changed. Because if I live as though this earth is everything that is the best for me, then I'm going to grab and I'm going to kick and scream and try to get my hands on everything this earth has. If I live as a sojourner and pilgrim, as my life is hid with Christ and in Christ in God, then I am going to live with the heavenly mindset. And you know what happens then? And this is really seeking into and seeping into the how. Because when our minds are changed, then our actions flow out. When our hearts are changed and our minds are changed, then our behaviors are different. You see, the temptation for all of us is this. It's to change the behavior first and then to worry about the heart next. And that's not it at all, friends. It's to understand and grasp that you are living a life, that your life is hid with Christ in God. And friends, that is a life of freedom. A life of freedom that says that I don't have to worry about the encumbrances of this world anymore, because Jesus has redeemed me from those things. He has bought and purchased me outside of being in bondage to these things of this world. And because of that, that's where we have the freedom that this world doesn't know, because I don't have to worry about the things that the rest of this world worries about. My life is hid in Christ with God, and it's a life with a new nature. And that new nature, friends, is removing the grave clothes, and it's putting on the new nature of what God has blessed us for us. And if we are not hid in Christ with God, then we are not living with a new nature. And we could stop right there. A new nature. Who I am determines what I do. If I'm a policeman, it should determine who I am, should determine what type of policeman I am. If I'm a teacher, who I am should determine what type of teacher I am. Because if what I do determines who I am, then that is not a life of freedom. We're working it backwards, and that's what our culture does. Our culture works it backwards. Instead of working from the inside out, our culture looks at the outside and says that the outside should change the inside. And friends, that is reformation, and it is not regeneration. God wants to regenerate you. He wants to change you. He wants to transform you. He wants to make you new. The scriptures say that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed. The new has come. And because you have accepted Jesus, you are a new creation. But yet the new creations, we live in grave clothes many times. It's a life, and this is a blessing, which is renewed in knowledge. And it's a life which reflects of God. Let's get to the how. And this is, we're going to close here this morning. God wants me and you to bless other people. And this is the how. You know, you might say, okay, well, this is all fine, well, and great, but how am I to do this? It's very simple, friends. It's very simple. And if we could go on. Colossians 3, 1-2. If then, and that's because it's not a subjunctive, it's not a realm of possibility. It's since that this has happened to you and to me, that when we receive Jesus, we have been united with Him one in one spirit. And since you have been united with Christ in one spirit, you have been raised with Christ, meaning that we were once dead in our trespasses and dead in our sins. And since we have been united with Christ, He has raised us up no longer to be victims, no longer to be tossed to and fro by the elements of this world. And so since then, you have been raised with Christ. Seek the things that are above. Now, this might sound like craziness. Okay, what's this got to do with how I live? What's this got to do with the behaviors that I have? Where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. You see, friends, there's two words, seek and set, and those are commands. And God wants you and me to bless other people, and He wants us to be living a life consistent. When we seek the things that are above, we are seeking them, not just to seek them, but we are seeking them to obtain them. We are pursuing after them with such a degree that it's saying, I cannot live unless I obtain this. Now, it's not things of this world. It's obtaining the things that are above. And those are the eternal things. Those are the heavenly things. Those are the righteous things. Those are the characteristics and the attributes. And friends, this is where our minds have to come into play. You see, we focus on behaviors and we don't focus on thoughts. There's a proverb that says, as a person thinks, so they are. Now let that sink in. As a person thinks, so they are. If I think negatively, my life is going to bear fruit of a negative life. As a person thinks, and this is not the power of positive thinking. Please don't go out of here and think that. That is not what I am saying. But as a person thinks, so they are. If I am thankful, as we talked about last week, I am going to react and I am going to interact with those elements of life in a positive way. As a person thinks, so they are. So we need to seek the things that are above. And there's Philippians 4, 8, 9, and 10. So then, brothers, finally, brothers, is what the Apostle Paul says to the church at Philippi. Set your mind on these things. And he says, whatever is true, whatever is holy, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, whatever is good report, and all of those things. And then he has this phrase, set your mind and think on these things. You see, in Romans 12, 1 and 2, we're told to not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. To be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so, the how is this, friends? The how is this? And this is where Dallas Willard calls this the great omission of the church. Because quite honestly, we talk about behaviors more than we talk about the internal transformation. And the great omission of the church is it's cultivated a culture within the churches in America that it says, hey, raise your hand. Hey, come forward. But yet we never make disciples. And that is exactly what God has called you and me to do. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, he says, go into all the world and make disciples. A disciple, friends, is a follower. It's a learner. It's a individual that says, I want to reflect everything that my teacher has given to me, and I want to reflect upon him all of what he has taught me. And friends, Jesus is our teacher. And so to seek those things that are above, this is about seeking those things that are going to change and renew our minds. It can be one thing as a scripture verse. You can memorize one scripture verse. Years ago, I read the book of 1 John every day for 30 straight days. You want to know why? I wanted to know what was in the book of 1 John. I wanted to know. I wanted it in my heart and in my soul. And I'm telling you, to this day, this is probably 15, 20 years ago that I did that. To this day, I can tell you what's in the book of 1 John. I've done that with other books. But it was seeking those things. Above. And it's not about reading, because if you're reading on a list to read through the Bible in a year, and you've done that year after year after year after year, maybe you need to change it up. Maybe you need to read in a different way. Maybe you're not seeking to obtain. If you are seeking to obtain, you are saying, I don't care what I have to do, but I want it in my mind, I want it in my heart, I want it in my soul, and so bad that I'm willing to do whatever I got to do it. And this is the how, friends. It's about getting God's word in your soul. And then you know what the incredible thing that happens is? Then our behaviors change. Because as a person thinks, so they are. Then the behaviors change. And then what we put on, you see, this is about getting dressed. It's about spiritually getting dressed. And what we put on is not of this world. It's not chasing after a paycheck. It's not chasing after a reputation. It's not chasing after, you know, exemplifying what we think that God thinks that we should be. It's none of that. It's saying, Jesus, I want to obtain who you are. I want to obtain what you have asked me to do. And I want to change my mind. I want to renew my mind so that you will transform me. And I want to grasp it so much so that I don't care, but that when we do that, he flows through us. Because God wants you and me to be a model of his character. You see, we have divorced in our Christendom, in the Christian culture in America. We have divorced the reading, the regular reading, the regular meditation, the regular spiritual disciplines from the act of living a Christ-like life. And then we think, oh, you know what? Okay, yeah, you can do whatever you want. No, you can't. Because God won't let you do whatever you want if you are truly seeking the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. The second command is this: to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. To fill your mind on things that are above. To allow your mind to capture those things that are above. You see, we clamor and we read all kinds of scriptures and all kinds of reading material. We talk about the Constitution being over 200 plus years old. This is 2,000 years. Jesus says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. The Scriptures attest that everything, heaven and earth, will pass away, but not one jot, not one dot of my Word will pass away. You want to truly transform your life? You want to truly exemplify exactly what God has asked you to do? Get this in your heart, mind, and soul. Get it in your mind so that your minds are being renewed from the ways of this world. Because I'm here to tell you, and this is one of the reasons why a personal commitment that I have is I won't meet with anyone ever any morning until I have had my time with God. It will not happen, friends. And there's a group of men here that I meet with 7:30s on Tuesday mornings. And basically, that's as early as I'm willing to go, not because I'm not up. That's not the fact. That's not the issue. The issue is that means that I got to back it up and get up at 4. If I meet any earlier, 6:30, I am not going to compromise my sleep, nor am I going to compromise my time with God, because I know my tendencies. I know my tendencies to get in the flesh, and my tendencies are to do things operating in my own power, strength, and abilities, and I need to seek things that are above. I need to fill my mind with things that are above and not on things of the earth. You want to know the how? Forget the lists in the scripture. The how is to get God's word in your mind. And the promise is this, that once you transform your mind and your thought process, your behaviors and everything will be changed and transformed. And that is God's promise to you and to me, because He wants so desperately, friends, that you and I to be a model of His character to this watching world. We live in such a tumultuous time, such a crazy time, a difficult time. We have a witness that we need to take advantage of. And many times that witness is not about beating people over the head with a big Bible. It's not about even speaking to them. It's about, you know, sharing the love of God that has been poured into your heart and mind with other people. But if I divorce myself from this, then God's love won't be poured into our hearts. And what's going to come out of me is not going to be off of that first list that we looked at. So before you put yourself on a guilt trip, just make a commitment here this morning and say, you know what, I'm going to change things up here this week. I'm going to take 5 minutes. I don't care. Start somewhere. You know, start at small place. I'm going to take 5 minutes and I am going to read one scripture and I'm going to meditate on it all day long. I'm going to read it at lunchtime. I'm going to read it at dinner time. If you're married, read it together. Let it soak into your soul, because we are not to be conformed to the pattern of this world. And the secret and the how to be a model of God's character is to renew your mind. To fill your heart, mind, and soul with God's word, and to allow Him to transform your behaviors. That's the secret, friends. And if you do that, your behaviors will take care of themselves. Your actions will take care of themselves. It's not about what we do. It's not about what we don't do. It's about who we are. And friends, it's about high time that we took off the grave clothes and we put on the clothes of the resurrected Jesus, and we said, you know what? And these are the clothes of the resurrected Jesus. It's about high time we put these on, put them in our soul, put them in our mind, and allow them to change and transform us and to mold us and to make us and to reflect the risen Christ through us. Let us pray.
God, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your challenge. Jesus, we thank you for your promise that you will renew our minds. You will transform our minds. You will change us. That we won't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but we will be transformed. We will be made new. We bless you, O Christ, for such an opportunity, such a privilege. We pray for your courage. We pray for your strength that as we embark upon this new journey this week, that you would give us the stamina, the courage, the stick-to-itiveness, whatever you want to call it, to stay with it, to read one scripture, to read one chapter. However you lead each one of us, it will be different. And so, Father, our heart is that we would be a model of your character. And your character is reflected in your word. Your character is shown in your holy scriptures. And may those scriptures that are soaked into our soul and our mind, into our heart, may they change our behaviors, our thoughts. And we thank you, for we know that they will. We bless you and we praise you. We honor you this day. We lift this up to you in the holy name of the risen Savior, Jesus, we do pray. Amen.
This is my desire to honor you. Lord, with all my heart, I worship you.
Is that as you allow God to renew your mind through the reading of his word, that you would experience a confidence and a peace that you've never experienced before. And friends, I truly know that it is exactly what will happen if you allow God's word and to set your mind on the things that are above and seek your mind on the things that are above and filling them with the word, the heavenly, eternal word of the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You will be blessed. You will be honored. You will be esteemed beyond anything that you could fathom. And as we depart, may the God of all grace, may he bless you and keep you, and may his peace anoint you, and his love fill your heart, mind, and soul. And may you depart in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace. Amen.